Anybody in Stafford here today, like maybe a copy of God's Word to muse over, meditate upon, and maybe, who knows, come be brought to a knowledge of your Maker and, of course, the salvation that He has so kindly, graciously produced and provided for sinners such as you and I. Some people, of course, it's the wisdom of this age, they live with a rather foolish notion that, there is no God. They call themselves, atheists. It's what they've, it's what the poor souls have been indoctrinated with, but don't you know in the Bible, it doesn't call them that, because you see in reality there is no such thing as an atheist. God says that everybody, yourself and myself included, knows that God is. But the problem is, you see, it's this this sin business, It's this sin nature that we've got within us. Don't want there to be a God, and say we can't find God. Where is He? But of course can't find Him because, for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman, Don't want to find Him because if you did find Him, you'd be in trouble with Him. So you see, my friends, what the Bible calls such people is, to put it quite bluntly, it calls them fools. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. But of course, the antidote to that, the cure, the best cure, you could listen to me, to what I have to say from God's Word, but to read God's Word itself, Because God can speak a lot more clearly, a lot more fully, and a lot more powerfully than I. So that's why we offer to you a copy of God's Word, should you wish to read one. And come to a proper understanding, the wisdom of God. It's not the wisdom of this age, of course, that's just the wisdom of men, my friends. That take you nowhere, that just leaves you on the treadmill. And of course, that's where you finish up at the end. No further forward. God's Word, you see, is powerful. He has the power to speak into being, which is not. That's how the universe and everything in it came to be. God spoke it into being. And of course He's able, to speak to sinners like you and I, and to speak them powerfully out of sin, death, and hell, and into everlasting life. That's the gospel, you see. And of course, God's Word really and truly is about, God's salvation, so graciously and kindly provided, produced by God and provided for you in order that you might know the forgiveness of God, reconciliation to God, know the love of God that passes knowledge, says God's Word. If you like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. You find, Jesus talking to people, dealing with them, you read for yourself in the Bible, there's a lady, a woman there, she came to Jesus looking for help. Lots of people did, and lots of people still do. And of course, they find the help, that they're looking for, because He's able to supply it, But this lady, this woman, she came to Jesus. Simple, very simple. Some people, they say, I don't know how to pray, wouldn't know how to pray. Here's the thing, you don't have to be in a church building. You don't have to be dressed in religious clothes, just the utterance. This woman, she said, from her heart, she said three words, simple three words. Lord, help me. Bible, you know, God says, you know, in other places says, you know, oh, that man would pray. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this woman, you see, because, well, she called in faith, you know, and she went to the right person, you know. And I think, you know, maybe that's the starting point, you know. Whatever your troubles, anxieties, distresses are today, and are they not multiplied? And are they not multiplying as the age goes on, you know? But you keep going to the wrong people or the wrong person, you know, for the help. You turn to the world, you turn to the state. And I know the state, the nanny state, provides you with an awful lot of benefits, a lot of things, you know. And of course, that's a big attraction. And many people, of course, are kind of locked into it, you know. But the source, my friends, to go to the source. Lord, help me, she said. She went to the right person. She went to Jesus. And she found the help that she needed. But guess what? She didn't get straight away the answer she was looking for. In fact, Jesus took no notice of her. And you might wonder why he did that. Well, maybe you know, to authenticate the reality. Did she really, really want help, you know? But some people, you know, they come to Jesus very superficially, lip service, you could call it, you know what I mean? They don't really believe that he can help them. They don't really believe that he can answer their prayers, you know. They're not really intent on getting help, you know. What they're looking for really is just, you know, kind of like a genie in a bottle, you know. So the genie pops out and just does everything and anything you want him to do. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not Jesus Christ, our Lord. No, my friends, you got to go with serious intent. You got to go, you know, like you want help, and you're going to get help, come what may. And you're not going to take nothing, no for an answer. Well, Jesus didn't answer her. You know, and his disciples, they turned to Jesus and said, hey, Lord, you know, there's a woman here, you know, like he didn't know, you know. And his answer to them was, I didn't come for her. I came for the lost people of Israel. I didn't come for this woman. And the woman's response is remarkable. And this is where the help comes in, you see. She said, but Lord, she said, even the dogs, she likens herself to a dog. You willing to do that in order to get help from Jesus? Even the dog, she says, like the crumbs under the master's table. That's faith, you see, that's humility. The kind of humility that's needed in order to obtain salvation. Not coming in your pride and your arrogance, you know, that you're owed some kind of help. Because here's the problem, you see, we're not owed nothing from God. Nothing at all. That was all forfeited, you see, when man sinned, your first parent and mine sinned against God, you see, brought sin into the world, all the rights, you know, were forfeited. So you see, we're not worthy of anything from God's hands, that he hears us and answers us. Well, that's grace indeed. That's grace indeed. So you see, she comes with humility, and of course, as the Bible says elsewhere, you know, that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because he's mighty and we're lowly, we're nothing. Here we are thinking ourselves, you know, really something. We don't need God, we don't need his help, you know. When all you are really, in reality, is just a tiny little speck of sinful dust on the horizon of God's universe. Worthy, my friends, of nothing. Lord, help me, she says. A dog likens herself to a dog under its master's table. I wonder how far down, I wonder how low you would be prepared to get in order to get the help that you need from the Lord. The help that, well, perhaps you're not even aware that you need. Because here's the problem, you see. Here's the problem, friends. Not just you're saying, not just you're thinking and you're doing. All that's bad enough. All that's got you in trouble with God. But much, much deeper than that, right down into the vitals of your soul, right down into your very nature, conceived in sin, born in sin, and you live and die in sin but for the grace of God. Unless God in His grace intervenes and brings you to this place of lowliness, because here's the problem, my friends, in your human pride and arrogance, well, you're not going to go there yourself. Because we all think too much of ourselves. We all think we're the real deal. We all think that the universe was made, you know, to revolve around us. We all think, you know, well, in this generation especially, you know, we think that the rest of humanity is here at our bidding and our begging. And woe betide anybody who gets in our way and doesn't give us what we want or desire. So you see, lifted up with human pride. And of course, the Bible tells us why Jesus tells us this story about this woman. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. That's the idol of the age. That's the God of this age, my friends. Self, my friends. Trusting in yourself. I can get by. I can do this thing. I can do it my way. Well, my friends, it doesn't look like it to me. Not from my little perch here today, does it? As I look out in the world of humanity, you're making a mess of things all over again. Again and again, the problems keep arising. Racism, we're going to bring an end to it, but you haven't. The war goes on, you know. We're going to stop killing one another. No more wars, they said. 70 years ago, they formed the United Nations. No more poverty, no more sickness, no more wars, they say. And of course, since then, there's been more wars, more poverty, more sickness than ever there was before. So, all the nations together, all the king's horses, and all the king's men can't put Humpty back together again, can't put the world back together again. You just keep repeating the same wickedness, evil, and sin all over again. You talk about love. Oh, love. Let's just all love one another. Your songs, you know, on the radio, television. Love, love, love. You love to sing about love without even knowing what it is or what it means. Love, my friends, loving one another, that's an impossibility. Because God says in your nature, natural born, what you do is you hate God and you hate your neighbor. And my friends, is that not writ large over your society? You talk about lives mattering. Do lives matter? Do they really? Well, how come, my friends? How come? You want to convince me that you really think, you really believe that lives matter? Then bring an end to the abortion. Bring an end to the abortion. That would be a good start. Then I'll start to listen to you, but not until. According to your World Health Organization, in the space of 1 year, just 1 year, 56 million unborn children ripped from their mother's wombs and slaughtered, I say, in the name of abortion. And you tell us that lives matter? Eh? What about your NHS? Eh? Your worshipful NHS. When I say NHS, everybody on their knees, bow down, worship. The biggest provider of abortion, of murder in your society today, and providers now, would you know, of euthanasia. If you want somebody talked, well, that's the best agency I would say to go to. So lives matter? No, I don't think so. I don't really, really think so. I don't think you believe that, and I don't think you know that. No, you need help. Seriously, you need help. Lord, help me. That should be your cry. Help me get out of this society, out of this evil, filthy, sick, sin-sick world of which I'm an inhabitant and a contributor to because of my sin nature. Hating God and hating my neighbor. And until that is, God Himself brings you down, my friends. Brings you to the same place that we find this woman in. You know, a dog under the master's table, crying out to him for help. Lord, help me. Because I am a sin-sick soul, because I was conceived in sin. I have a sinful nature out of which comes nothing but sin. All your days, childhood, youth, adulthood, middle and old age, nothing but sin from beginning to end. And why you need to call upon the right person. Because the kind of Savior we need is not the Mr. Johnson kind or the Mr. Trump kind. The kind of Savior we need is not the United Nations or the NHS. The kind of Savior we need, my friends, is Jesus, the one to whom the woman went. Yes, ma'am.
Half of them aren't listening. You know that, don't you?
Well, that's your problem. That's their problem. Testimony's given, ma'am.
Yeah.
And what you do with it, you'll answer for. They'll answer for.
Yeah, I agree.
Just the same as you.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm only here to testify, that's all. No, thank you, madam. But I'm not lying on luck, madam. I've got a Savior. I've got a God who answers prayer. So my friends, as I say, you know, it's going to the right person. It's the right kind of Savior that you need from the real danger. And the real danger is sin as the enemy within you, in your heart. That heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. A Savior, one who is able to save you from that condition, that sickness, that disease, crying out to Him, Lord, help me. Because you can't help yourself. Because of that sin nature, all you can do is sin. You can't do anything else but sin. Until somebody, the one who has the ability, the power to change that sin nature. And that one person is Jesus and nobody else. It's the kind of Savior you want, my friends. Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those under the law, under the condemnation of the law. You're born into that state of condemnation. You live under it all your days, my friends, and will die in it unless you're saved by Jesus. Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save what? To save you from poverty? No. To save you from sickness? No. To save sinners, my friends. Sin is the danger. Sin is the disease. The virus, my friends. The software, you see. The software has to be taken out. It has to be deleted. And then it has to be reloaded properly. And then, of course, well, you begin to function, you may be able to function in a way that you are made to function. That is to glorify God. That is to love God and love your neighbor. That is, of course, to do God's bidding, to live in obedience to His commandments. But that's the thing that you can't do. And you ought to have got it by now. You ought to have understood that by now. Why can't I live? Why can I not even live up to my own standards? Never mind God's. Lord, help me. That should be your cry, because my dear friends, it's impossible. An impossibility for you to help yourself. You need to go to the right source, the right Savior, the one appointed, anointed of God to be a Savior, to be a mediator, to bring us back into a right relationship with God, that is. You know? Reconciled to God. It's why He came, you see, why He lived. Why He revealed, if you like, you know, the compassion and mercy of God. And all these people he deals with, they come to him one after another, all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties, crying to him, Lord, help us, Lord, help me. And his answer is the same every time, my friends. Different words, but the same answer every time. Only believe, trust in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So the woman comes, you see, she comes in faith. She comes trusting, she comes believing that Jesus can help her. Another man who came to Jesus with an evil son, asking, Lord, if you can do anything, please help us, he says. And the answer given to him was like this. Jesus said to him, what do you mean? What do you mean, can I help you? Can you believe? That's the question. It's not, can Jesus help you? My friends, it's, can you believe? Can you get down far enough? Can you get down far enough like this woman? Like a dog under the master's table waiting for some crumbs? Can you get that far down? Can you get down on your knees maybe today and cry out to God that he would have mercy upon you, a sinner? Because that's what you need to do. That's the place where you need to be brought to. But it seems to me, you know, until God gives you a taste, until he makes you taste the bitterness of your sin, of your wickedness, of the evil of your heart. Because only when you've tasted the bitterness of sin, only then, my friends, will you be able to taste the delightful sweetness of the gospel of forgiveness. But till God brings you to that place of tasting the bitterness, utter bitterness of your sin, what it's done to you, what it's doing to you, and what it will do to you, ruin you eternally if Jesus doesn't save you. Faith, you see, my friends, faith is what's required of you. Faith, you see, that accompanied with humility, you see, that humbles itself at the feet of the Lord Jesus and cries to him, Lord, help me. So he tells us, you see, because of those who trust in themselves, you know, like, the religious kind, the dog collar kind. Sir, if you're hearing me, you know, my friend's religion, that hasn't changed the world, has it? Church of England, you still got it, for what it's worth. Church of Rome, you know, not changing nothing or nobody. My friend's religion, all the religion in the world won't do this. No good going to the Church of England and say, help me. No good going to the Bishop of Stafford and saying, help me. No good going to the Pope of Rome and say, help me. My friends, it's Jesus you must go to, and him alone. Lord, help me. Trusting in yourself, trusting in men. King David, he says, you know, that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. Well, they trust in all kinds of things, you know, to shield themselves against the wrath of God, against the storm of sin, you know, that's wrecking their lives. Friends, all the money in the world, all the celebrity status in the world, all that you achieve, that man can achieve, friends, it amounts to nothing. Jesus posed the question to you, what shall it value you? If you were to gain the whole world and lose your soul, what profit, my friends? I mean, what if you were given the whole world? You can only be in one place at a time. You can't be in Stafford and be in Jamaica at the same time, can you? So, you see, my friends, I mean, what if you were given a 100-room mansion? You can only occupy one room at a time. That's a load of nonsense. A load of nonsense. All your greed, my friends, and all your self-aggrandizing, it's wickedness, it's evil. It's a denial of the God who made you and gave you your being, the one in whom you live and have your being, the one who holds your very next breath in the palm of his hand. His to give and his to take away at will. Now, if COVID-19 hasn't taken you away, well, you can be assured something else will. They're telling me, I read in the news today, if that's to be believed, don't take their word for it, but I hear that bubonic plague has broken out somewhere in the West. So, my friends, there's just no end to it. It's like Jesus said, you know, that's what I like about Jesus, you know. He tells us like it is, he tells us the truth, you know, so we know what to expect. He says there'll be pestilences, there'll be viruses, in other words. These things will come. They're not a surprise, you know, to the believing community. Might be to the religious, but not the believing. And there'll be pestilences, he says. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes, there'll be famines. You know, United Nations, they tell you, they're going to get rid of all that stuff, you know. Contrary to Jesus, but Jesus says, no, they're not. No, they're not, he said. There'll be pestilences, there'll be wars, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be famines. They will be to the end of the age. Why? Because of the curse upon humanity, because of sin, my friend. Sin is the problem, and Jesus is the answer to the sin problem. Christ Jesus came into the world, what for? To save sinners, my friends. So trusting in yourself, well, I tell you, my friends, I have to advise you, that's the worst thing. You are the worst person you could possibly trust. Yeah? You'll hear friends say to you, and I know they mean well, they're very sincere, they'll say to you, oh, just go with your heart, trust your heart. That's the worst thing and the worst person, worst that you could possibly trust in. Because your heart is deceitful, says God. Wicked, wicked, desperately wicked, my friends. Your heart, that is. So deceitful, my friends, that it always, always gravitates towards that which is deceitful. Evolution, religion, you name it, anything at all to justify your ungodliness and ungodly way. So you see, my friends, not trusting in yourself, but Lord help me. Lord help me, going to Jesus for the help. Trusting in Jesus, not you, not your heart, because He and He alone can and will lead you into the truth. But He has to bring you to this place, you see. These who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous. You know, that they were righteous. They looked down their noses, said Jesus, and they despised others. Now you'll find this, you know, I tell you from experience, you'll find it in cathedrals. Yeah, you go to them for help and they'll despise you. I talked to a prostitute in Manchester a while back. I offered her some help, which she gratefully received. And she asked me the question. She said, why would I help her? I said, because I love you. She said, we go to the cathedral in Manchester, she said. We ask them for help. Homeless people. She says, they despise us. They despise us. That's self-righteous religion for you. Rome, the Church of England, and Mecca's variety too. No help there, my friends. No help at all. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that you must go to. Lord, help me. Because righteousness, you see, my friends, self-righteousness, Jesus absolutely hates and abhors. He says, you know, that when He came, He says that the Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah had spoken about Him and told what He would do when He came. How He would give eyesight to the blind, relieve the oppressed, set the captive free. All these things, a catalogue, a list of people, the kind of people that Jesus came for. And guess what? Guess what, my friends? One kind of people missing from that list. The self-righteous. Jesus never, never had anything to say to self-righteous people. Those who think they're okay. Those who think that they're righteous. and despise others. Better than others, you know? More fortunate, you know? More intellectually gifted, you know? More clever, smarter. Whatever the reason might be. Oh, very respectable, you know? Maybe middle class dudes, if you like, you know? And they look down upon those who are less fortunate, you know? They would have no time for the likes of, you know, whores and beggars, you know, that are constantly and daily in need of help. They despise such people because they think themselves to be righteous. They're not like other men, they're righteous. Like, you know, the Pharisaical religious man who goes into the temple. I thank thee, Lord. I thank thee, God, that I'm not like other men. I don't cheat in the marketplace. Well, not so other people can see me anyway. I don't cheat in the marketplace. I don't do the adultery. I'm a religious man. I'm a righteous man. I thank you, Lord. But another man, he came into the temple and would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, in other words. Because you see, my friends, you're not righteous yourself. Your righteousness, as God says, that's what you deem to be your best deeds, you know, cleverest, smartest, you know, and most helpful to your human fellow human beings. Your righteousness, as God says, are like filthy rags, you know. Yuck. Won't even touch. That's your self-righteousness. God hates it, abominates it, and so does Jesus. No, my friends, there's only one way a man or woman gets righteous. Only one way that a person, a man or woman, is counted righteous in the sight of God is through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Faith and faith alone, you see. Grace alone. It's a reformation, a war cry, if you like. Yeah. Contrary to the Pope of Rome, contrary to the popish English religion, yeah? Grace alone, gratis that is, free gratis, you don't work for it, you don't do nothing for it because you can't do nothing for it. The help comes from the Lord. Grace, gratis, free, sovereign, particular, free grace. Grace alone, faith alone. Faith, my friends, believing, trusting, not in yourself, but in God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Grace alone, faith alone. Are you getting this? Are you writing it down? Have you got your notebooks out? Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. None other name. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven. The whole canopy of heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus alone. No other. Christ alone. Only He can save, because only He died for sinners. Archbishop of Canterbury didn't do that for you. Muhammad didn't die for sinners. And I never did hear of any of the popes of Rome dying for sinners, or Buddha or Confucius. Only one person I know of in all the universe, all eternity, who ever died for sinners, who was so loving, so kind, and so helpful, that He came down into this world. I only came from Stoke, my friends. That's not a long way. Not really. Only took me about half an hour. Might take me a bit longer to get back, but just half an hour, my friends. Jesus came all the way from glory. He came all the way from heaven. He loved sinners that much. He came to help them. He came to answer the prayers of a poor, destitute, broken woman who refers to herself as a dog under her master's table. Lord, help me. And Jesus does promise, you know. He does promise, he says, that he will in no wise cast out any who come to him. Even shakers of the head, madam, even they can be turned around. So you see, my friends, Jesus, it's him that you must go to. He came all the way from heaven down into this sin-cursed world, into this swamp. That's what the world is. This present evil world. It's a swamp filled with all the filth and garbage of human sin, yours and mine both. Yeah? And you're all swimming about in the swamp, the filthy, dirty swamp. But at the end of the swamp, unknown, unseen by you, there's a precipice, madam. There's a precipice, and over the edge of it, you go at the end, down into the damnation of hell. Unless Jesus saves you. Unless Jesus saves you. Yeah? Unless Jesus brings you down first. Brings you down to the level of the dog under the master's table, crying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because he's able to, you see. Because he's the mighty Son of God. Not just a man, as some people think he is, you know. Some people, you know, they make mistakes, you know. They read what they want into the Bible, but the truth of the matter is, my friends, he is God, manifest in the flesh, the mighty Son of God, who stepped down into this world, so loved sinners, loved them, not like the self-righteous despisers of those less in their account, less worthy than themselves. He came for, my friends, do you know what he says? He says to the religious, self-righteous religious people, you know what he says? He says to them one day, he says, whores and tax collectors will enter the kingdom of God before you Pharisees, before you self-righteous despisers of such people. And you know what, my friends? I can tell you, I hear testimonies day by day. I hear about whores being saved. I hear about drug addicts. I hear about violent men in prison calling out to Jesus, Lord, help me, and getting the help they need, getting saved, getting forgiven, getting reconciled to God. Because Jesus came all the way from glory, and what for? To die on a cross, to suffer at the hands of wicked, evil, religious men. Yeah. To die on that cross, to spill his blood on that cross, so that sinners like you and I could be sprinkled with that precious blood, washed and made clean. Have you been to Jesus, I ask you? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You must needs be. Because if you have not been, you are not righteous. If you have not been, you are not righteous. And unless you are girls, you will not be righteous. Never. You must go to Jesus. Lord, help me. Cleanse me with your soul-cleansing blood. Wash away my stain. Wash away my sin. Him right to ask the question, what will wash away my sin? He replies, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing, my friend. Go any store you like in Stafford. Ask them for some commodity that will wash you and make you clean before God. They'll make you pure and white and heart and acceptable to God. And they'll laugh you out of the place. They'll send for the men with the white coats to take you away. But my friends, they're wrong, you see. They think there's no such a thing, but they're wrong. There is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on that cross, in order that sinners broken, ruined by sin, my friends, unrighteous to a man, to a woman, under the curse and wrath of God, that they might be reconciled and declared to be righteous before God. Because they have come to Jesus. We have the story of the cross, my friends. Two other crosses either side of Jesus. One a murderer, an insurrectionist, a rebel. You know the kind of people that go about the place pulling down monuments, you know, causing riots and mayhem in city centers. He was that kind of a guy, an insurrectionist, you know. And in his dying moments, seconds away from death, he turned to Jesus. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That day, that thief, a murderer, an insurrectionist was saved. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. Not by his own righteousness. Not by his own good deeds. He got nothing. He got nothing. He got nothing. What would commend him to God? His murder? His insurrection? He got nothing. Just like the woman. A dog. I'm a dog, she said, under the master's table. Even the dog gets to lick the crumbs, she said. Lord, help me. And she got the help she wanted. She got the help that she needed. But here's the thing, you see. Here's the thing, my friends. At first, Jesus takes no notice. When the disciples turn to Jesus and tell him the woman's here, he still takes no notice. And still she cries. She won't go away. Yet, she won't go away. She insists, Lord, help me. That's how you come to Jesus. Insistent, my friends. That's how you pray, my friend. You get nothing paying lip service to God. You get nothing muttering bits of prayer that you don't even really mean. But if you really, really today you want help, you want out of the mess, you want out of the swamp of this evil age, you want to live on a higher plane in the kingdom of God, that is, then you got to be born again. You got to have repentance, you got to have faith, you got to have what only Jesus can give you. So you got to go to Him for it. For everything that you need, it all must come from Him. Because all the glory goes to Him, not you, not me. And you got to go to Him, and you got to go like you mean it. Like your very life, like your very soul depends upon it. And believe me, it does. It does. Because you're going to breathe your last. You're going to breathe your last one day. And you're going to stand before God. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, now that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of it. Death is not a state of non-being. After that, the judgment of God. Then you give account, my friends. You give account for your self-righteousness. You give account for your despising of others. You give account, my friends, for all your evil deeds. Every idle word, says Jesus, you give account for in that day. When you stand before God, when you stand before your Maker. So my friends, go to Jesus. Come, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the dear woman found, rest for her soul. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will in no wise cast out any who come to me. As the woman came in humility, seeking, wanting, desiring help, and crying out to God insistently, not taking no for an answer. So my advice to you, go home. Go home. Take a copy of God's Word with you. Give you a Bible if you want one. Go home and shut your doors and lock them. Nail them shut if you have to. Keep everybody else out. Yeah. And get on your knees and cry out to Him, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. And do not stop until He comes to you, until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that you have eternal life in your soul, until you know that you have a pardon and that you are right with God. Righteous, righteous, I say, by faith, faith alone in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel, He says. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. How do you get into the kingdom of God? You ask, and you ask, and you ask, and you ask, and you don't give up asking. You seek, and you seek, and you seek, and you seek, and you don't give up seeking until you find it. You knock, and you knock, and you knock, until the door is opened unto you. That's how the kingdom of God is at hand. Cry out to Him, Lord, Lord, help me. You like a copy of God's Word, New Testament of the Bible, whole Bible if you please, offer it to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you, none whatsoever. You'd like one, offered freely, without any obligation at all. You would like one, feel free to come and ask for one, gladly, gladly place into your hands. May God bless you. May God bless you and have mercy, Stafford. Mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.